Yes, we are live across the interwebs right here, Event Icons, doing it again. I am just so excited, as I am every single week, for this week's guest. But I'm especially excited because I've been trying to get her on the show for like 4 or 5 weeks now. This is going to be a hot in-demand episode. You guys are going to love this week's guest. But, you know, before I introduce our guest, we just got to roll the intro. We got to get rocking and rolling. We got to get going. We got to drop the Event Icons beat. And let's get Event Icons going. Let's go.
Hey, it's time for another episode of Hashtag Event Icons. Presented by Endless Events. The show where you get to ask the icons of the events industry anything. Just follow us on social media to ask questions. Our iconic guests will answer them live during the entire show. Before we get started, the more people we have watching, the better the conversation. So please help share hashtag Event Icons on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just tell your friends to watch live on any of our social media channels. Now, without any further delay, this is hashtag Event Icons.
Woo! All right. Like I said, I'm so excited for this week's episode. This week's guest, I have literally been trying to get her on the show, but she is a master. She's doing so much different stuff. Believe it or not, she's traveling the entire world. She's running a 70-year-old travel incentive house. She's literally has a column with a magazine. She's doing so much more. She makes me feel like I'm not doing enough in the events industry. So I got to welcome this week's amazing guest, Ashley Lawson. Ashley, thank you so much for being here today.
I'm so happy to be here. What a hype up intro. I'm in the virtual club right now.
Oh, dude, you know, welcome to the club, Ashley Lawson.
I like it.
I think it sounds like my DJ days kind of come through a little bit on the microphone once in a while. So I need to get that halfway.
Oh, I like it. I was just most recently living in Greece, so I'll say Yasu or Yasas because we've got an audience. So that's plural. So that's hello in Greek.
Oh my gosh! You know, Greece was such like an incredibly beautiful place. Like, though I will say that I didn't get a chance to really go outside Athens and a couple of the islands, but like I was kind of like I wanted more like the Greek mythology, the Greek history. You know, but I've heard that I have to go north to be able to do all that.
Yeah, it's everywhere, and okay. I can share a little bit about my time.
All right,
and tell me when,
we might save this for offline, probably.
Yeah.
I love it. You know more than me about the entire world because you are a digital nomad. So I want to give a chance for you to tell your story about what got you to where you are today in the events industry and what made you like this infamous guest that everyone was saying that we had to have you on the podcast. So tell us the story. What got you to where you are today?
Well, you know, it wasn't my choice, but I'm so glad I am here because I was actually born into the industry. So as you had shared, my family started our incentive house 70 years ago. So I was born into a family that really just had a thrill of travel and helping other people see cultures and explore the world. And I literally learned my ABCs, alphabetizing flight itineraries under my mom's desk in group season when it was freezing. You know, it was snowing in Ohio where our company is. Then I was practicing my ABCs on flight itineraries. So that's how I got started.
That's amazing. And, what made you stay in the industry? I think that's probably one of the best questions too. Like a lot of people I'm going to decide to go do something else. This is a kind of a crazy industry, but you've been doing it your entire life. Did you feel like this is your calling ever since you're learning ABCs with the flight itineraries?
So actually the truth is, after college, I went into nonprofit. So I did event strategies for nonprofit and worked at a homeless services agency in Washington, D.C., working to end homelessness throughout the district. So I've always had a love of events and people gathering and connecting. And it wasn't until about 6 years ago that I officially joined the industry in my role today as a co-owner and VP at Achieve. It's in my blood. So, you know, every year I'd go on a trip, be a travel director, help out. So I was always familiar with it. And, cool. you know, Christmases when my grandparents would come back from trips, you know, bringing back ostrich eggs from Africa, and, you know, my grandma climbing the Sydney Harbour Bridge in Australia with a group. So it was always this joy in our family to have new experiences and meet different cultures and learn about them.
That's really cool. That was kind of like my partially, and you know, maybe you have kind of answered it so far. It sounds like it's really, like, no pun intended, in your blood. But like, mm-hmm. you know, you've been surrounded around travel for so long, and so yeah. many people dream to travel as much. And obviously you're nomadic now too. So you're literally mm-hmm. full time traveling. You're living out of, yeah. like, I think you, two bags, I think is what you're living out of.
I've got my computer backpack and then my Osprey. So awesome. I'm full carry on life.
That's amazing. You and I are going to nerd out on bags probably after. Because I love travel bags. Well, do you think that, like, at any point, have you ever gotten burnt out for having too much travel in your life and just being surrounded by it so much? Or do you think it's just so ingrained that it's, you can't yeah. see yourself ever not being nomadic, not traveling, not experiencing Ooh. New cultures?
So I live and breathe learning about other people and bringing people together and getting them to experience that same excitement. I've been a nomad, so it's officially 2 years now. That's and amazing. I would say I don't think I could ever get tired of learning and adapting to new cultures and experiencing new ways to celebrate. And, you know, the local culture is just what I love. I live and breathe it. But it's the meeting planning my life on top of leading a company is what is exhausting. But I think I'm, you know, we in this industry are the absolute best positioned to be digital nomads because mm-hmm. we are planning ninjas, and that's what my life is. So I think all event planners should consider it as a potential. You know, I think it's a great opportunity to get to know the world in a different way and introduce new ways to
Oh, you might be back. So my follow-up question, it's I realized that, like, you and I just nerded out on saying the word digital nomad, and I realized probably this audience probably doesn't know what that term exactly means. So for everyone who's listening right now, digital nomad uh-huh. basically is the concept of, like, you don't necessarily have a home in that you're traveling 24/7. Your home is mm-hmm. like wherever you're traveling to. However, I think this is the clarification that's needed, that you're doing slow travel. So you're like spending mm-hmm. 3 to 6 months in a location rather than mm-hmm. like some digital nomads are like every single month they're like moving around. Right. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And it really, the catalyst for it was during COVID, and, you know, we were all scared to travel, and our business thrives on travel existing, and it didn't. And actually, one of our clients at Achieve wanted us to help move a program's contract. And our partners in Mexico, our hotels, were just like, you know what, that's a really big ask. And I said, you know what, how about I just come there? We'll have a conversation. We'll talk this through. We need to make this a win-win. You know, 70 years in business, it's all about how we build partnerships and make it a win-win for everybody around the table. So in June of 2020, I went to Mexico. I was the only person on the flight, the only person wow. in the airport. Everybody that was working on the airport was in hazmat suits. And it was scary. And there was just no information about what safe travel looked like. So I ended up staying in Cancun, worked with our partners to fix the contract. I bought my grandpa's green pen for good luck because that's what he signed all contracts with. Got the contract signed. Everybody was happy. And then I was just fascinated to understand how hotels and DMCs and really the entire destination was preparing for the return of travel and safe events. So I spent 3 weeks, went on about 30 site visits, talked with everyone from the janitors to the GMs about cleaning supplies, chemicals, what they were doing to train the teams. And it just kind of became a personal mission to bring back confidence in travel by sharing the facts of what was happening on the ground. And after that, just ended up selling everything I owned. My husband and I packed backpacks and said, let's go. I'm going to go learn. I'm going to share. I want everybody to have the facts. I want to give our clients the facts on what I felt was really safe for them to consider and give be that, you know, trusted sounding board as they were making really challenging, life-changing decisions for their attendees.
That's amazing. So like one of my biggest challenges, I think that I personally struggled with deciding to, because I almost went digital nomad at one point and was like, you know, all these things like that. And I've even considered moving actually outside the United States to other locations and things like that. You know, for somebody who's planning primarily events in the United States, that's my biggest concern is like, how do you travel to the events? But you're not necessarily going on site for the events in a lot of ways. Is your team doing it? Like, what does that kind of look like for you to be able to manage the business as you are nomadic?
Yep. So I co-lead the business with my family, and we've got a team, a full service team. So we've got about 20 employees and contractors who make the magic happen. And I stay on the same schedule as they do. So wherever I go in the world, I'm working East Coast. I'm accessible to our clients and to our team whenever I am needed. So I stay on that schedule. So as I said, I was just in Greece. My day in Greece starts at 4 p.m. I end about 1 a.m. And that for a while, I put Europe off the table because I was like, that's crazy, I can't do that. But I was like, you know,
you're thinking primarily like Central America, South America, North America.
Yeah. So started off in Mexico, went throughout Belize and Colombia and Argentina. And I was like, well, this seems smart. Let's stay in this hemisphere. You know, and then I was like, you know what? Let's just test the waters. What if we tried something a little more outside the box? And what I found in traveling to Europe and working from there, it's actually really neat because you get to spend your morning exploring. And this will, you know, maybe come across a little bit selfish, but the day is yours first. And then you get to work. And, you know, exploration is part of my job. So I really see my life as just a whole one big global site visit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you, and I'm curious to know if you ended up liking that 4 p.m. to 1 p.m. schedule. But like, for example, a lot of people know that like I've spent a lot of time in Ireland, and so like I would do not 4 p.m., but I think I like it's like 2 p.m. to like midnight or something like that. Similar schedule. You're definitely you're instead of your lunch break, you're doing your dinner break. You know?
Yeah.
What'd you think about that schedule? Like you said, you got to have your time to yourself. I felt that exact same way. What other ways did you like it, or did you come to not like it?
I actually loved it.
Nice.
It was wonderful because you get to start the day with all your energy. You know, I do my workouts. I go hiking. And my husband and I are kind of chasing an eternal summer because we're just in backpacks. So I don't have that much room for warm weather clothing or winter clothing. So all of my clothing is site visit appropriate and with a side of a little bit of adventure gear.
That's awesome. That was the one thing that was hard for me was like I like had one polo, endless polo, and then the rest was like my casual like summer clothes and things like that too. Yeah. So the fact that all your stuff is like site visit, work ready, approved is pretty incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say I'm on a slow site, you know, really getting to know the local community and the culture so I can figure out how to creatively and authentically weave that in to future programs there, because I see myself as this destination ambassador now because I can speak to all the places I've lived and really what that special sauce is associated with each of them.
That's really cool. I want to come back to that in just a second. I definitely wanted to chime in on your thought, like you get the workout stuff. I find that like if you do like the later schedule too, that like we always talk about like how the days, a lot of times it's, let me back up for a second. I'm just so excited talking about this stuff. I don't think I've talked about this at all on this podcast. But, you know, like you spend the whole day, like a lot of times you wake up and you immediately are rushing to get into work and it just owns you. And then you get to the end of the day and you're exhausted, you know, like, and now you're like, I just want to be on the couch. I just want to turn my brain off. That's how I feel sometimes when I'm in that rush mode. But like you said, like when I'm over in Europe and I'm working American hours, it's the slow ability for you to ease into it. And I felt like I came with a lot more clarity around work too, because I got all the things I want to. I had time to reflect. I had time to think. I had time to process that sort of thing on there too. So
absolutely. And you get to see more of the life and, you know, what makes up that culture. Because
that's true.
I'm running by schools and I get to see, what sport is most important here, what makes up the culture here at the coffee shop and talking with my baristas for that month.
I love
So I think I
it.
get to really immerse myself in a new way by having the daytime aligned with the local life.
You're a big advocate for like truly having local experiences. And I think we said like we need to do probably a whole episode, probably potentially on this. But I'm curious to know like what sparked you to care so much about delivering truly authentic local experiences? Was it just naturally a part of kind of the incentive work that you were doing already, or did really this digital nomad kind of integration spark it even further? Like what kind of got you to be the ambassador for the local experience?
I'd say it was well before that. So before I moved into Incentive Mice World, I helped to lead a nonprofit homeless services agency for a decade. So that was my first foray into my career. And I think at heart, I am a community organizer. And everything I believe in is the strength of a community, making that the best part of the destination. So I've always believed in how do we put the community first? And I come from a different background with a nonprofit hat on. So when I walk into an event strategy meeting, I'm always thinking, okay, how is the community part of this discussion? Because at our organization, it was called Miriam's Kitchen in DC, and one of our core values is our guests are at the center of everything we do. And when I say guests, I mean people experiencing homelessness. So that was a core value of our organization, and that's how I led my every day. And I organized our events and our fundraising and our corporate partnerships. And it made it so much easier to make hard decisions because we had this compass of, will this help us end homelessness faster? Does this partnership allow this? Does this event strategy meet this goal? So I have always led with a community organizer focus, and I have brought that into my work with leading the incentive house. And I truly believe the more experiences we invite our event attendees to have with the local culture, obviously the trends and the talks of the town is local culture. Let's immerse them. Let's make it authentic. But so often it's just talk, and I want to move past that because when I came from nonprofit and into this industry, I still saw so much of our work keeping people in the boxes of their hotel. But there's just so much cool stuff to explore outside of that. And what I've noticed with our event attendees, if they don't connect with the culture, it's and I'm speaking specifically to incentive programs. If they don't connect with the culture, if there's not something that's unique to that destination that we're pulling out, they're putting those memories in the same buckets. And a lot of times they forget where they are, or their memories are, was that Punta Cana? Was that Mexico? So I think as event leaders, if we are looking for our events to have ROI, we've got to really lean into that local culture because that's the biggest unique characteristic of the destination in my mind. So that's why I'm always waving the local culture flag and why I started the column with meetings today to be advice for event leaders and hospitality leaders to how to infuse the local culture.
That's so cool.
It's a really long-winded
No, it was great. I
answer.
was literally coming up with questions as you were saying, and then you were answering them like in real time. So it was awesome. One thing I wanted to dive into too is this idea, and I think it was something that we talked about when you and I were chatting yesterday, actually, was this idea, and you mentioned it, the like how do you take your experience from working in nonprofits and then apply it to incentives? Like I think a lot of us like the typical path is something like social, nonprofit, corporate, and corporate meaning like conferences and meetings. Whereas like yours is more like incentives also have meetings as part of them, I guess, in a lot of ways. But like, how do you implement your way of thinking about nonprofit and community events into the incentive world? I gotta know this.
Oh, in so many ways. I mean, it was huge. It definitely changed our like attendee journey and how we went about building that during COVID, because when I was working with people experiencing homelessness who are living with a lot of challenges, it's just hard to walk through life. So how do you make each step easier as they come into our organization to talk with a social worker or come in for a meal? And in a crazy way, like, I've always been finding housing for somebody, trying to make sure that our guests experiencing homelessness had a safe home to be, but also with events, like, we are creating a safe, happy environment for someone to feel comfortable outside of their home. So as I think through the attendee journey, as we were and still are leading people through that, a lot of those hiccups associated with COVID protocols and just a lot of challenges with signups and entry into different countries and COVID testing, it's in nonprofit, we talk about, like, how do we walk hand in hand with somebody? And that's really how I led through thinking about the attendee journey coming to events during a global pandemic. So, you know, thinking through their every step, it's really scary leaving your home, maybe if you haven't in a long time. Okay, how do we make that easier? Maybe, you know, a lot of our attendees, this is the first time leaving in a long time. So what if we send a DoorDash gift card? So whoever's taking care of their kids at home or parent. So there's something making their life a little bit easier and not having to worry about the responsibilities back home that they've been so focused on for a year or two or almost three. So just really walking in hand with the attendee, just like I would with somebody who really needs that extra support, who may have been experiencing homelessness when I worked in nonprofit.
That's so cool. That's incredible. I think, like, to be in that empathetic planning is just, like, really, I think, a key of what you've talked about. Like, really being empathetic of not only the them as attendees in general, but specific attendees, and putting yourself in their shoes, and in your case, hand in hand. You know, Ashley, I think one of the coolest things is, like, I found that, like, a lot of nomadic, like, pre-pandemic remote people tend to think a little bit more innovatively about business and how things are getting done and how things can be done better. What's one way that you think that, like, the incentive industry is kind of stuck in the dark ages, and that you've, like, for a long time had your, like, planted flag being like, it should be, we should be doing it this way in a lot of ways, right? Like, so I guess, like, one of my examples, when I ran, when Endless was a production company primarily, like, we didn't want to own a gear. Because I didn't, it stemmed from the idea of being remote. Like, why do we have a warehouse? I don't want to go to the warehouse. I want to be at home. I want to go travel, you know? What's your, like, thing that you think that the incentive world is doing archaically that needs to change?
Oh my gosh, RFPs. Why is it so hard for me to give, like, $1 million to a hotel?
Talk me through it. Talk me through, like, what's the process look like right now, and, like, how you think it would be better.
I just want, like, a common application for hotel contracts. You know, like, when we, you know, applying for college, there was that option that you could do the common app. Like, can we just please have a common app, a common contract that we all just, like, we're going to support each other. We're going to come into this, like, this comma, if I miss it, like, this contract is not null and void. I would just love it to be easier on the contract side. But I think sometimes where we, there's, I think the two big ways, because again, I always have my community organizer hat on. The biggest ways is we're not educating our attendees enough about the destination. You know, we forget about the hype up and the excitement. Our registration experience is really freaking boring. Like, let's throw in some destination trivia in there and then, you know, see what the answers are. Let's ask exciting questions about, you know, what are you most looking forward to? What is your favorite memory from the past? Like, there's so many things we can make more interesting, like registration, which tends to be a bore. But we can also hype up the destination, give more information about it, what's unique to it. What they're walking into, and, like, you know, the unique customs associated with that destination, I think, are really important. And that adds to the trip hype up and therefore the ROI of the event, because they're having more experiences even before they get there. So I think that's a really big one. And then I think we just need to be better partners to each other. I think we were really good at that during the pandemic. You know, when I first got into the industry, give me one second. I just need to take a glass of water.
I'm making you talk so much.
I know. I always drink water out of a wine glass because I think you can celebrate in so many ways.
Well, say cheers. I'm one over here with like a plastic water bottle.
Okay. and yamas. Cheers in Greek. And the second thing, where was I going? Oh, I said something.
Yeah, you're talking about like the registration.
Oh, partnerships.
Knowing more about the partnerships. Yeah.
Yeah. So partnerships. You know, when I first got into this beautiful world of events, specifically the MICE category, everything was so closed. You know, it's like, don't talk about your clients. You know, those are competitors. We've got to keep our best secrets, our best kept practices to ourselves. And then what I loved during COVID, it's we are one big family. And once one of us gets raised up, we all get raised up. So I hope that doesn't go away because, you know, in nonprofit, when you are focused on a cause as big as ending homelessness, if you don't work together with all of the organizations in that region, you're not going to go anywhere. It takes everybody to be lifted up. So that was really core to why I wanted to share all about safe travel, safe events as I was traveling. I wanted everybody to see it. I didn't want event leaders to have to reinvent the wheel every time they were making their COVID protocols. I just wanted it to be easy. And the better we partner with each other, the better we all work. And, you know, I didn't think it was fair to put our clients as guinea pigs. So I really pushed on our industry to lead events, even when we wanted to cancel them, because we needed to learn how to do it well and then share those best practices with the clients that we're asking to make really hard decisions.
Ooh, I like that. I want to come back to that idea of hyping up the location and the destination that we're all going to, because I don't think we've talked about that much on this podcast. How do you... If you have some, let's say, for example, your audience, everyone's super busy, right? We're busy. Mm-hmm. So we assume that our attendees are busy. They're probably signing up for this event or whatever it may be. And then they're not probably thinking about it until the week of. How do you think that, like, someone who's busy, how can we better educate and prepare our attendees when they might also not be, they might be like kind of head down until they literally are getting on the plane to the location?
Yeah. I think there's so many fun touch points that you can do. We always get the home address of someone, you know, send magnets about the save the date, might have a little destination fact on there, talk a little bit about, you know, a fun fact of their history. We, at the beginning, we were talking about Greek gods and goddesses, something that I did for a family vacation that could totally be adapted to programs. And that's what I love about my life, because I can really use creative things in my personal life, see how it goes, and then share it as an event strategy. So I really like Nat Geo kids version podcast because, you know, history of a destination, it can be very heavy. Yes. But if you do the kids podcast, they make it like really fun, and you can absorb it and you can understand it. So I always read up or listen to a podcast from Nat Geo Kids before wherever I'm choosing to live, so I can learn about it. It makes sense. I can grasp it. And on Nat Geo, they talked a lot about the Greek gods and goddesses. So I shared this with my family and said, okay, pick the Greek god that you want to celebrate and embody. And you're going to be that person for one night. So I was Dionysus, who is the god and harvest of wine and grapes.
I love it.
We had necklaces for everyone. We had outfits. But we were celebrating a part of the culture that is very meaningful to the entire Greek people. And we made it approachable and fun and educational and engaging. And I would totally suggest to any groups that are going to Greece, like, steal this idea, do this, do touch points like magnets, postcards. You can even, like, at Achieve, we've got a big program coming up in Mexico. So to get prepped for it, our team is doing a cooking class with you know, tamales, guacamole, and Mexican hot chocolate. And we're going to learn about the art of chocolate, which is a Mayan tradition. So we try to incorporate that into our team as ways to suggest to our clients, here's some fun ways to get people hyped up about the destination and more knowledgeable even before they get on the plane.
That's really cool. I love that idea of, like, you talked about is combines two of the things you talked about, making registration better. So, like, we can ask better information, like, A, ask them their home address so you can ship mm-hmm. them pre things to kind of get them excited for it. Right. But also I love the idea of, like, maybe we incorporate registration questions that then help lead us towards giving them something that's customizable to their experience. Yeah. Like, and I think, like, the Greek mythology thing is, and Greeks and Greek goddesses and gods are, like, so cool because that can be applied to probably most regions in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Because they all have, like, some history of doing it. Like, right, you go to Norway, you got all the Norse mythology. You go mm-hmm. to, you know, yeah, into Mexico, you got all the Mayan mythology, right? Like, there's so much history there that you can tie into. Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really cool to think about it in that way, too.
Yeah. And I'm sure when you said you were in Ireland, how long were you there for?
I've done a total of about 2 months or so total traveling across, like, multiple trips.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No one tells stories like the Irish. So
that's why I talk so much. Call. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Have a virtual call with your DMC beforehand and have Q&A.
Yes,
I love it. You know, send gifts home that are kid appropriate. You know, there's no better way to knock the socks off of an attendee like making their kid feel loved.
Finding a way that they have something that they can take home to them too.
Oh yeah. And that's destination appropriate.
Yeah.
I love this organization called Little Passports, and this is my go-to gift for clients. Steal it. But you can choose the destination and age appropriate craft that's associated with that destination. And then we send that to attendees or to clients to get them hyped up, because if you get the whole family involved, like, everybody's excited.
Yeah, totally. Well, especially too, I'm sure with a lot of your clients too, the incentive work that they're doing is an incentive. So it's, like, tied into mm-hmm. a lot of times the business objectives of sales or marketing or operations, mm-hmm. whatever the heck the goal is for the business. And, you know, the more that you can then make the family proud of it, they then are like, oh my gosh, we love XYZ company because they're sending mm-hmm. you know, my husband Bob off to, you know, Greece and look at all the cool stuff. And, like, it ties a lot more in. So it doesn't become just a job to them. It becomes this, like, larger purpose of what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Definitely adds on to that loyalty factor.
It's killer. Man, I could go, like, a million different ways to asking you questions of stuff. You know, what do you think is the one thing in the events industry that no one's talking about right now? That's a deep question.
No one. Oh dear.
Or at least not enough people, I should say.
I just like kindness. Is that, can I say that?
Yeah. Right on us.
We know it. We are so busy. We're among the top three most stressful jobs, careers in the world. Oftentimes we let our stress get the best of us on site, and it's really hard not to just freak out when something goes wrong. But instead, I think it's so important that the partnerships that we build on site, we are handling them with care. And I noticed this in the beginning of coming into this industry is that, I mean, the backbone of the meetings industry is the banquet team and our housekeepers and our bellmen and our concierge. Mm-hmm. And they make every touch point when our guests arrive to the hotel after they've had a really stressful travel day. Like, it is critical that those people are happy and cared for with kindness from us as the event leaders, as the face of the event. So at Achieve, we started an award called the Give the World Award, which is one of our core values, and, you know, go above and beyond, go that extra mile. So every program on site now, we give a Give the World Award to somebody who is not usually seen. They're not the ones getting tips by anybody. It's oftentimes the janitor or a bellman who is not front and center and is always the guy who gets stuck with room deliveries or lost and found or whatever it is, whoever saved the day. we highlight them and we give them a big old tip and an Achieve trophy. And we bring kindness and care to the people who often don't get celebrated. And that's what I mean is like, we can be softer and more thoughtful, because like, yes, our days and those, you know, 24-hour work days are crazy. But also like the more we have everybody on our team, the better things work. So, you know, when we're in our pre-con, I talk about that award and how we're so excited to celebrate somebody and really lead with appreciation first, and why our client chose this hotel or this destination, and, you know, bring in that that emotional connection first, because we know things are going to go cray. So let's lead with kindness first to get people on our side.
That's amazing. So I just wanted to clarify, you're giving an award to not an internal employee. You're giving it to the someone who's working in a hotel, like one of your vendors, your partners within this process. I just want that to sink
in. And a hotel.
That's amazing. I just want that to sink in for anyone who's listening to this episode, because I think that's an incredible way for you to build a legendary status within this industry too. Now here's the thing. That person's going to be like, do you remember, that incentive house who came into our venue? They gave us the award. Now everyone's going to be talking about it within the hotel. And then the next incentive house that comes in, if they're not doing that, you're going to be like, oh, they're not as good as a chief. That's so incredible. I think it's such a great demonstration on top of that, of your core values, that it probably makes your team think I want to exemplify that, because we're recognizing it externally as well. So just kudos to you guys. incredibly awesome.
It's just so much fun to celebrate people. You know, that's what our whole industry is about. And oftentimes we're so focused on the attendee and our clients, which is obviously critical. That's the most important thing we get right. But we don't make anybody look good without the behind the scenes team that is just making all the magic happen behind the scenes.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, you and I could probably talk for a million years, and I'm starting to think of 1,000 different topics we're going to do more episodes on about all this stuff. But I want to give a chance for you to get my two famous last questions in for the episode, because there's so much good stuff. Ashley, I don't mean, literally, you already named a resource and massive tips, so you could just mic drop at this point. But what are your favorite resources? So you mentioned Nat Geo's, the kids podcast is a great place to learn about destinations. Where other places you go to learn? What tools or apps do you love? It sounds like your Osprey bag might be one of your favorite resources too. What's your favorite resources in the world?
Ooh, I have so many different ones, because the nomadic life is unique to that. I can't really have.
You gotta have your tools to do it.
So I really like Peloton for. Body workouts. I don't have weights.
Are you doing it on iPad or your app. Phones?
Yeah, my app. Cool. So I love the body weight workouts. Sometimes I use my my gallon water as my weights. There's a lot of unique things you can do as a nomad.
And who's your favorite instructor? We got to ask that for all the Pelotons.
Peloton. Oh, is it Callie?
Okay, nice. Oh, I've heard people say Callie, so I think that's pretty unique.
That's awesome. And I'm an R&B girl, so.
She's got tons of R&B.
Love my music. I think I love building traditions in my world. So one of them is Spotify is my only set consistent monthly expense. Everything else is Airbnb related or, so that's my go-to for life. So I
So no TV streaming services at all.
I mean, I might.
Or you subscribe for a month for a TV show, and then you're unsubscribe.
I might have my mom's subscription.
Yes.
But wherever I go, I ask people what their favorite song is. So I have my global playlist as a DMC or as a DJ. I'm sure you'd love that.
That's very cool.
So those are my go-to apps. I also love the Boss Babe podcast. I want to be a boss babe. So I think I do a lot of writing. So I read a lot of meetings today and kind of what's on trending there. And since my column is there, I love them there. So those are my go-to resources. And Airbnb is like my lifeline because it's my landlord. It's my tour guide. It's
totally
tells me everything I need to do in life.
And just because I'm a nerd, what's your Osprey bag? What do you know what the model name is off the top of your head that you're rocking?
I think it's the 40-liter one.
Okay.
It's green. Everything okay. I own is green, so it's all like color orange.
Oh, I love it. Is green your favorite color?
I do love it. It's green and this fuchsia one.
Or whatever. I like it.
Yeah. I collect earrings wherever I live. So these are from Colombia. Cool. This was cool. Head wrap from Guatemala.
Oh, no way. So that's awesome.
I like building my traditions in.
I love it. Well, cool. Well, I got to wrap up with you have so many tips. You had so many tips, and you're like this, like 40 minutes we've been recording so far. You've dropped so much stuff. But I give you one tip for event planners and meeting planners out there today. Like, it can be related to what we've talked about or just completely out of the blue. What's your number one tip you got for everybody?
Oof. I'd say your biggest superpower is a thank you card. So even though I have very little in my life that I carry with me, I have thank you cards in my passport wallet, and I surprise thank you card everybody that gives that extra mile. Like, I was going to Morocco and the flight attendant gave me all these little extra bottles of olive oil that I was obsessed with on the plane. So I'd say just sprinkle some kindness in the world. And also just like lead with what you love. I came into this industry, you know, even though I was born into it, I kind of didn't know my place. I was this nonprofit professional. I cared about building communities. I cared about mission-driven organizations. And I had the legacy of my family's business to lean on that was purpose-driven for me, but there was a disconnect. So once I started really building out what I cared about, which is that local culture and creating events that do have more of those intercultural exchanges, that's what I started writing about, what I started sharing about, speaking about. And it's like I've fallen in love with the industry in a whole new way because I've focused on what I care about. And obviously, you know, with the company, we support our clients with all kinds of goals, and maybe cultural exchanges isn't part of their incentive goal, but I can speak about it and share about it and maybe entice them to consider it. Awesome. And I love that. So I'd say, you know, lead with what you love and have that be part of your mission.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Ashley, wow. So incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing so many awesome tips as well. Quick question for you. Do you think it's okay for us to tease where you're going to be, where people can go find you next to hear your voice?
I haven't really told anybody. But
okay. All right. We'll keep it a secret, but stay tuned, everyone. Okay. We got some news coming with Ashley real soon, hopefully.
It's a very long country.
I love it. Well, Ashley, thank you again so much for being on the podcast. We really appreciate you being here and sharing so much of your awesome knowledge that you have.
Oh, happy to be here. Efkaristo is thank you in Greece and Greek. So I'd also add, you know, get to know a little bit of the language wherever you're visiting.
Yes,
it's definitely. For work or play, you know, get to know the locals. They're the best part.
Definitely. Well, thanks to everybody who's been watching live. You guys were all pretty quiet. Normally you're asking lots of questions, but I think Ashley blew all of your minds today, which is cool. We love that stuff. But if you do have questions, don't hesitate to ask them ever in the future, and make sure that you subscribe for more hashtag event icons and to hear more awesome voices like Ashley's here as well. So, all right, we got to get out of here. Otherwise, Will's just going to keep talking because he doesn't know how to do the outro properly. So everybody have a fantastic day. Thanks so much for tuning in, Event Icons. Thank you, Ashley, for being here. Thank you, audience.
Cheers.
And we will see you next time on Event Icons.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of hashtag Event Icons. To catch all of the bonus content, resources mentioned, and an invite to our Facebook and LinkedIn groups, head to www.event-icons.com. Also, let us know what you thought about this week's episode. Share your biggest takeaway and just tag your social media posts with hashtag Event Icons. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon, right here on hashtag Event Icons.